everybody. What's going on?
Yep, got a good movie today we're going to talk about.
We finally got around to watch it. How long ago? Was it Louis that sent us this?
Yeah, Louis sent us this almost about 2 years ago.
I don't know. It was a long time. It was before we moved, significantly before we moved.
Yeah, like 2 years.
When did we move? Like last September.
Yeah, and I think he gave this to us before the pandemic.
Yeah, he might have.
It's three years maybe.
Oops.
Hard to say.
Sorry. Well, the thing about it, here's the thing. We actually were going to review it, like, not too long after we first got it. And, like, we started watching it, and for whatever reason, both of us were kind of like, I'm not really feeling this.
Yeah, it was the
at
scene.
At first.
It was the scene with Jamie Foxx, and then that fucking black chick was in the back seat of his car.
That was Jada Pinkett Smith. You were right.
It was Jada?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was.
I had forgotten.
I was waiting for a bitch to smack a bitch in this.
Well, I had forgotten how old this movie was.
Yeah, she's,
so it's like I wasn't really used to, because I'm used to seeing her like more recently or in like way older shit. And like this movie is like older than I thought.
Damn near 20 years. 15 years, I think.
Yeah, 2004 this came out. Yeah. I didn't realize. But yeah, so for whatever reason, we started watching it a couple times, but I was just kind of like, I don't know, I just wasn't really in the mood for it. But then the weird thing about it, because we're trying to go back, because I know that some of you guys have sent us movies, and we haven't got around to them. That's why we finally did Sexy Beast, which Sophie sent us like a fucking million years ago.
I'm going through all the videos.
We're trying to go through all the ones and like...
I'm like, where'd this come from?
Kind of cover the ones that we haven't done yet, because I felt really bad that sometimes they got like put in the bottom of the pile or we forgot.
And then
or whatever.
We moved. And
then we moved and stuff got like, you know, moved around.
And I'm finding videos now. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Where'd that come from? Somebody must have sent us that. So it's starting to go in the pile.
Yeah. So we made like a new pile. So we apologize. So if you did send us a movie at some point that we haven't covered, we're trying to get to it like recently.
Yeah.
And like I said, I was trying to do some that I had as well, like 24 Hour Party People. Which
now Hernandez or Louis Hernandez. He fucking. I got a good relationship with him on a movie level. Okay. He sends movies. I don't know what it is with this dude, okay? He understands my tastes. Everything he's fucking sent me is, like, spot on. Once I see it. I didn't realize he sent me Collateral. I was watching. Had I known that he sent that one, I probably would have put the priorities a little bit higher, okay? Because we got to it, and then, like, the Jada Pinkett Smith fucking scene comes up where she's in the back of the car, and it's kind of slow. And me and Jane were both watched it. We did it twice.
Yeah.
And there was something about the state of mind we were in at the time. We're like, I don't know if I like this movie. And then we switched it off twice.
Yeah, because I was like, well, it's like, you know, and the acting was fine and everything like that. But I was like, I don't really know if this is going anywhere. I thought this was supposed
to
be like...
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, right. And it seemed to like go on for a long time. But then Louis kept telling us, it's like, no, you have to keep going because it gets like really, really good. And a bunch of you guys had told us that too. Oh my God, this movie is so good.
Yeah.
And I was like, there has to be a reason why
it's good,
it was in so many... And even back when it came out in 2004, it was on like a whole bunch of different like best, like top 10 movies of the year and shit like that. And Jamie Foxx got nominated for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. Okay. So it's like there has to be some reason.
Right.
You know. So last night we decided we
were there's some setup, and then there's the Jada Pinkett Smith scene, and then if you can get through that, which is only a few minutes, but there's something about it. And then right after that it fucking starts getting into it.
Although last night it didn't seem to bother me as much. Maybe I was just like in a bad mood that day or
state of mind or
something like that. Yeah, because really they just kind of set up there's like a really, really brief sort of prologue that has Tom Cruise with his gray hair going through the airport and doing like a switcheroo bag with Jason Statham.
Yeah,
who does it? Jason Statham is in this for
he's like a bit part
for like 2 seconds.
Yeah,
I don't remember how famous was Jason Statham.
No, he wasn't famous.
That's what I thought. He wasn't like famous at this point in time. And then it goes into the cab scene with Jamie Foxx and Jada Pinkett Smith, and they're talking to each other, and then that kind of goes along. Right. A while, but then, like, after that, it really, really picks up.
Here's the setup. Jamie Foxx is playing a cab driver. And he's this kind of motherfucker that just talks and talks and never does anything, all right? He's kind of wasting his life away. He has all these big plans, but he never acts on them. Out of the blue, a dude shows up, played by Tom Cruise, who's a fucking professional hitman. And he gets in the cab with him. And Tom Cruise, look, I'm going to tell you something. And we'll talk about Tom later on. Okay. You guys know how I am with Tom, all right?
It's
Tom and Scientology and all this shit.
It's a bromance.
It's a slight bromance. Okay, going on.
At least you're admitting it.
It's a short guy thing, okay? We're about the same size, and we have a lot of the same interests, but and we're almost the same age, a little bit older than me, but there's... Shit turned out different for me and Tom. Okay. Tom 1 and Tom 2. Okay. Separated at birth. Anyway, let me get serious again.
Okay, so we're being serious. We're trying to get serious.
Tom shows up in this, and he's playing a fucking assassin working for some cartels. But he's really fucking smooth. And he hires Jamie Foxx. He doesn't know. Jamie Foxx, the cab driver, doesn't know that this is an assassin. But he says, look, we need to go. I got this whole route I got to do tonight.
Yeah, I got a bunch of stops.
I got a bunch of stops, and I want you to hang out with me tonight. I'm going to pay you fucking $300 to do this tonight. He's like, how much do you make a night? And he goes, I'll tell you what. And he ups it to like $700 is what it ended up being. Take me to all these places, and we'll hang out. That's what you're going to get tonight. And fucking Jimmy, and the cab driver, it's a part-time job for him. He's not even a full-time cab driver. He's like, okay. So he takes him to the first stop, and fucking the assassin, Tom Cruise, goes up there and fucking shoots a dude. The dude falls out the window, fucking jumps out the
window. He didn't mean for that to happen.
Right,
but yeah.
And it falls on the cab and busts it, and fucking and the cab driver sees it and realizes that this dude's an assassin. Well, he kind of takes him hostage. He's got no way out. He's got to go through this fucking mission. He's got to kill, how is it, four dudes? Five dudes.
It's five people. No, it's not all dudes. It's five people, yeah.
Yeah, five people. And he's got to kill them all. And he gets four of them. The last one he doesn't get, but you got to see it. And it's a fucking good movie, all right? It's kind of like a road trip movie and a gangster movie and with assassins and kind of like James Bond type shit happens in it.
A little bit of a noir vibe to it, I feel like.
Yeah. Cops are in it, FBI's in it. A lot of cool guns for the time. I think it's 2004. Was it 2004?
2004. This came out. Yeah.
So real hot guns for 2004. Tom Cruise is carrying a fucking HK. I think it's the USP fucking 45 auto, which was a real hot gun at the time. And a bunch of shit shows up. Fucking Smith & Wesson, fucking automatics, and fucking 9mm. Fucking full auto Colt submachine guns, you know, AR-15 or M-16s of 9mm full auto. There's cartels in it, and kind of almost a few of the scenes are almost like something out of John Wick. Tom evidently went through some training by some ex-SAS guys, which I don't know why they always go after these fucking SAS dudes and this and that and fucking. Because really, those guys are learning from civilians, civilian trick shots and speed shots. Guys that have access to fucking ranges and just don't do anything but just fucking shoot all the day. But yeah, I guess it sounds good on your resume that some SAS guys.
Well, yeah, then just
about.
I learned some shit from learned some random motherfucker.
Learned some shit from a dude who's fast. Yeah, the dude that the SAS goes to learn how to. Yeah
that so doesn't sound.
It doesn't sound the same, but. Yeah, fucking you see Tom do some fucking really good, fast, fake shooting. I mean, not live ammo wasn't involved, but it would have been good even if it was live. And yeah, it was a fucking good flick. Real good.
Well, I like this because this is one of the few times that I've seen Tom Cruise play an out-and-out villain. And I think it works better for him because it kind of like plays into his natural assholishness.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons I don't usually like him when he's playing the hero or when he's like the star of the movie, because he comes across as kind of like a dickhead to me, like very cocky. But the fact that he's like that makes him a much better villain than a good guy.
Tom Cruise is a much better villain. Than a good guy.
Yeah, and seeing this movie really cemented that. I was like, I'm glad that somebody had the balls. And this was directed by Michael Mann, by the way, the great Michael Mann, who did The Insider, he did Last of the Mohicans, Manhunter, Heat. You know what I mean? He actually worked on the original Miami Vice show as well. So this has like that kind of thing, but I'm glad that they finally had him just play like a straight-up villain. Just like a cold-blooded sociopath, because I think that's really, he pulled it off really well. I bought that.
Yeah.
I bought that much more than I buy him like as a good guy. I know that's like crazy.
Depends on the role. The Ethan Hunt character
It does depend
good.
On the role. Ethan, I guess in Magnolia, he played like a dickhead, and he was great in that too.
Yeah,
not the same kind of dickhead. He wasn't an assassin.
He plays a dick and eyes wide shut, and you kind of buy. He's not really a dick. He's just kind of like a. He's not really a good person in Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, he's not really supposed to be a villain. Though.
No, he's not a villain though.
Yeah,
and Interview with the Vampire. I thought he was good in it. He played a fucking arrogant ass vampire.
Yeah. So any role, I tend to only like roles where they play into his natural, like, arrogance.
Yeah, yeah, he's good at that.
But I think this is the first one that he was an actual, like, straight-up villain.
Yeah. Maybe. But what I did like about it is that he's an enlightened villain. He knows he's a villain. And he basically says a lot of Musashi-esque type statements, you know, if you guys know who fucking Shinmin Musashi was, you know, and a lot of Buddhist type stuff. I'm like, why are you worried about this? We're on a little bitty speck of dirt, a little ball called Earth. We're all gonna die anyway. This is all temporary. He starts going through kind of like the Buddhist concept of like enlightened indifference, of that this doesn't mean anything, and I know it doesn't mean anything. It's all just temporary. You know, we're all just playing a role, and we're just borrowing time here. Which I thought that was very cool. Now Jamie Foxx in one scene goes, "Okay, then I'm crash the car," which that was great because that was the only way to get to Tom Cruise was to crash the damn car.
I laughed, and that was
I called him Tom Cruise, but what was his Vincent was his
Vincent
name.
Was Vincent. The character's name.
Yeah, the only way you could do it was by trying to beat him by his own game. You couldn't go against him; you had to go with him. It's like, okay, this doesn't mean anything then, and I'm going to crash the car.
Well, I'm going to crash the fucking car.
Crash the car. He goes, no, crash the car. Fucking.
But he's like, I thought you said it didn't mean anything.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean that Vince's philosophy wasn't any good. It's just that Vince had a mission to do, and he wanted his money. And death comes eventually anyway. No reason to rush it. It's just that when it does come, oh well. But you want to delay it.
I read that Jamie Foxx and Tom Cruise, when doing that cab crash, that they actually were in there. Like, they actually
doesn't surprise me.
They actually pulled that off.
All right, now it's time.
That's what I read. I'm not entirely sure.
Now it's time for me to talk about Tom. Whenever I start talking about Tom, man, fucking the fans go wild. Okay.
And the fans go wild.
Because I know a lot about Tom Cruise. I know a lot about fucking Scientology and everything that happened. I grew up watching him. Fucking, I saw the damn Oprah show where he jumps up on the couch. I know everything about.
I feel like
everybody
saw that.
I know everything about Cult of Scientology, the Free Winds, and fucking David Miscavige, and going up the bridge, and his OT levels and everything. And I know what Tom went through. That's not the path I would have taken, but that was the path he took. Tom is like the number one Scientologist. Okay. He's like the best creation they ever made. But he didn't get basic Scientology. He got VIP Scientology. And I think it did kind of fucking help him, like any training regimen can help a person. Tom didn't want to be a fake. I mean, fucking... you make a living pretending to be race car drivers and fucking gunfighters and fucking jet pilots and shit. But you're just pretending. You know, you're pretending. That's not what you are. And to get the street cred, Tom couldn't join the military. He was a fucking celebrity. You know, this wasn't World War II where they drafted celebrities, you know. So really, he went to fucking Scientology and had a bunch of money and... they gave him the fucking mindset, I think, and encouraged him to fucking get that training for himself. So when you see Tom can ride motorcycles, he can shoot good, he can fucking fly aircraft, he can do it. Tom at least can do a lot of the shit he's pretending to do.
Yeah, I do respect him for that. He does actually take the craft seriously, right. And he will actually learn to do the shit that he's supposed to be doing in the movie.
Yeah, Tom's competent. Okay, he's not pretending. That's how he is. Is he arrogant? Yeah, he's arrogant. Everybody knows says he's arrogant.
Yeah,
but that's him. That's kind of like his trademark.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a bad person. I think he's a little bit out of touch with the average person. I don't think he's bad or anything.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bad person. No. I just think he's kind of like a cocky...
Yeah, he's cocky.
He's a cocky bastard.
Yeah, cocky, kind of out of touch with the average person. But the average person really is kind of a fucking... Nowadays is kind of a fucking couch potato anyway. So, yeah, you're going to be out of touch with the average. Is he a little bit fucking hokey? Yeah, he's a little bit hokey. He's not the kind of guy that you want to fucking take to a club and just relax and, you know, get high with or anything. He's not like...
I don't think I could relax around Tom Cruise.
No. He's more kind of like an Army Ranger.
I feel like he would get on my nerves.
Right. He's kind of more like an Army Ranger that's on fucking duty all the time. Somebody who, you know, you try to have to take a vacation away from, you know. I'm like, oh, man, it's not...
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, okay,
come dude, on, you're a lot.
Yeah. But he did a good job on this movie.
Like I said, I really kind of like... Because he really does seem like a sociopath in this movie.
There's some good scenes in it.
Yeah, and I mean it's just really good. It's a pretty straightforward narrative,
right?
But I really like the way they just kept like upping the stakes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was just like it was just fucking great. Like, and all of it was like really, really good. Like with all the tension and stuff. Like the first guy who fell on the fucking cab, and then if you like, I said Tom Cruise. I keep saying Tom Cruise. He's an assassin. He didn't
Victor
mean.
Is his name.
Yeah, Victor.
Vincent.
He didn't mean for that to happen.
No.
And so he's basically like, well, we can't just leave the shit here, so we have to put him in the trunk. So then later on, they're like driving around with like a dead body in the trunk of this cab.
Never and
like
did drop his ass off.
And I was just kind of like, I don't know. I kind of feel like Assassin 101. You might want to like dump that in a river someplace or something. I don't know. Don't be like going around, especially because the car was like all fucked up from the dude like falling on it. So then the cops like pull him over and then like this big tense kind of fucking shit. You know what I mean? So it's really, really good the way it kind of like ramps up. The hilarious thing about this, I was like researching this movie, is that this, at least the idea for this movie, came like a long time ago. The guy that came up with the original idea, which wasn't called Collateral back then, was 17 at the time. He got the idea to do the treatment. He's like an Australian dude. I think his name is Stuart Beatty or something like that. He said, he was in Sydney and he was coming back from the airport. And he's like, for some reason, I'm in a cab. And I just had the thought, what would happen if like you picked up somebody in your cab and like that person was like a psychopath? You know what I mean? So he just kind of wrote like a 2-page treatment, and then he was like kind of he came to LA and he was like kind of pitching the idea. HBO were gonna make it, and then there were like all these different directors. Interestingly, the one director who was Brazilian wanted to make it more like a comedy, like the Martin Scorsese movie After Hours.
Yeah.
And initially, it was supposed to be, Vincent was going to be Russell Crowe, and the cab driver was going to be Adam Sandler.
Okay.
Which...
Yeah.
I don't know how that would have worked out. Honestly, I think it worked out a lot better. Yeah, you could make a comedy shit about that, about this. You could make a comedy version of this. Yeah. That would work. But honestly, I think it turned out a lot better being kind of like more an action thriller type situation. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. It would have been a completely, completely different movie had they gone in a more comedic direction.
Yeah, I wouldn't have liked it as much, I don't think.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not just saying that you couldn't do this story comedically, because you totally could. You'd have to make it like a dark comedy. That would work, but I don't know. I kind of liked it better this way.
There's
there is,
comedy in it.
Sort of, not a lot, but some. There is some.
There's comedy in it in the way that it's not quite as funny as, say, Die Hard, but Die Hard was an action movie that had a lot of comedy in it. Not that, but there's a lot of weird shit that happens in it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Fourth Throwdown says, so did Tom Cruise go out and kill several people to prepare for this movie?
Yeah, he would do some shit like that.
That sounds like some shit.
I have to know what it feels like. Method acting.
That's what I was gonna say. That's like acting. Now, see,
like,
that's something that I never actually thought of. You know, you're kind of famous like method actors, like Daniel Day-Lewis and Gary Oldman and people like that, that get really, really into the role. And Christian Bale to a lesser extent. I just kind of feel like, if they have to play like a murderer in the movie, they're gonna insist, well, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but I'm gonna have to kill somebody because I can't play a person that killed somebody unless I know what it feels like in real life to draw human blood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So did Tom Cruise become a vampire for a little while too? Like before he did Interview with the Vampire. I'll just pop over and become a vampire for a little while, and then I'll come back to human.
He imagined it.
But see, that's the thing about method acting, though, is you're not supposed to imagine it. You're supposed to have experienced it so you can use that.
Because I think, Tom was a Scientologist by that time, because I think he became a Scientologist during when he was fucking filming Days of Thunder. Yeah. I think that's when he became a Scientologist.
Yeah, it was right around... Was it a little bit before that? Because I kind of feel like, wasn't that before, around the time that he married Nicole Kidman?
Yeah.
And he was trying to, like, get her into the cult, too.
I've never seen Days of Thunder. I've heard it's kind of mediocre.
I remember not liking it. Yeah. I kind of feel like... I don't even remember how I would have ended up watching it. I didn't pay to watch it or anything like that. But maybe I just, like, watched it when I was on cable. And I was kind of like, I feel like everybody, because I'm from Daytona Beach, and I feel like everybody in Daytona Beach, like, it was the law, like, you had to watch it, because it was, like, about NASCAR, and Daytona is, like, a big NASCAR kind of shit. But I don't even remember if I sat through the whole thing, because I was like, oh boy, NASCAR and Tom Cruise, two of my least favorite things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just remember it being, I'm sure it's fine. It just wasn't really my thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I don't really hear a lot of people talk about it anymore. Not the same way that they talk about, like, Top Gun or something, like some of his really early, like, iconic, or Risky Business, like Slasher Fred just said. I just kind of feel like, I kind of feel like it was one of those ones that it was just kind of, like, fine, but, you know, I don't know.
I'm just going to say it's a real good movie. It's a good gangster movie, that kind of action adventure. Has a lot of good messages in it. Kind of deeper philosophical messages about, you know, how to spend your time while you're alive. Has some really good scenes in it, and Tom playing a bad guy, and he's a better bad guy than a good guy.
Definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah,
I mean, he should play more sociopaths,
right?
And I like that they kind of made him look not Tom Cruise-y.
Yeah,
like they made his hair gray and kind of big.
Yeah.
You know, it's not big.
It's kind of prematurely gray, though.
Yeah. You can tell it's like not it looked like salt and pepper. Yeah, it looks kind of fake, to be honest.
It looks fake to me. But it's still he still looks cool in it.
And the thing about it is that they were saying, well, his character, and even like in universe, like of the movie, he was supposed to be just like not. Even the dudes that hired him, like, didn't know what he looked like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All they knew was his first name.
Yeah.
So he was, like, real down with his anonymity. But then, like, meanwhile, goes and, like, shoots up an entire, like, fucking downtown, like, Los Angeles nightclub going after this one guy. And everybody saw him.
He's an interesting character. I mean, like, he's pretty well-cultured, real educated, knows a lot about music and stuff, and can be real cool with you and talk with you before he kills you.
Yeah, that one scene in the jazz club was actually really good. I was not expecting that to go that way.
Like you and still kill you. So
he's like, hey, that's what they pay me to do.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So it's not real personal to him.
Yeah, he's not like a serial killer. No. He's just very cold-blooded. He's like, hey, they paid me to do the job, so I'm going to do the job.
He's compartmentalizing.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he's doing. And the thing about it is that even though he's obviously the villain, he's obviously a bad guy, but... In a way, he does help, even though he puts poor Jamie Foxx, like, through the fucking ringer, you know, and actually Jamie Foxx gets, they're through this whole convoluted series of events where they think that he's the hitman and start, like, kind of following him, and he kind of gets shot at and shit, but it does actually kind of end up helping him out in the end, because it makes him see, well... You know, because his whole thing is he has this dream. He drives a cab, but he's like, oh, I have a dream to, like, open up my own limo company, and I have all these ideas and all this stuff, but it's like, I don't have the money, or I don't blah, blah, blah. And he's been driving the cab for 12 years, and basically this one night, because the whole movie takes place over one night, he's basically like, oh, well, shit, if I want to do something with my life, maybe I should just, like, get off my ass and do it instead of, you know. So it did actually make him come out of his... fear of failing or fear of, like, moving on to the next level or of whatever. So it did, like, actually help him out in that way. So I thought that was kind of cool, too, you know? But, yeah, this is, I'm glad we finally got around to watching this. And I have no idea, because when we were watching it last night, I wasn't bothered at all by, like, the cab scene. It didn't seem slow. It was interesting. And then I was like, what the fuck was the matter with us? Like, that we put this on two times in, like, the first 5 minutes. We were like, meh. You know?
I don't know.
I don't know what it was. Maybe we were just in a bad mood both of those two times, and we just couldn't get... Because it didn't bother me at all last night. I was like, all right, I'm down.
Well, I think just going into it, not knowing what kind of movie it was, is part of it too.
Yeah.
I didn't know what kind of movie it was. I didn't know it had anything to do with any kind of assassins or anything. Tom Cruise didn't seem to be in it from what I was watching. I just didn't know anything about it. So I think had we seen a trailer for it, and then it would have been a little bit different. It just seemed to be kind of slow.
Yeah.
You know.
But the thing about it is that, like, it's that opening, yeah, that opening scene, it did seem initially like to go on for a while, but then that ends up being important, like, at the end of the movie. Right. So it's not like it was just there for no reason. You know,
you're
what
just
I mean?
In a cab talking.
Yeah,
and you're like,
and you were just kind of like, well, is this like, does this
going anywhere?
Is this germane to the situation? Right, yeah. But it is actually. It does actually end up being important later on, and it kind of like comes full circle. So there was a reason why it was there.
Yeah.
A bunch of people are recommending Tropic Thunder, which I can't believe that you've probably never seen Tropic Thunder. That seems like a you movie.
Is that the one where they're pretending to be in Vietnam?
Tom Cruise is in that? Tom Cruise is in it, and Robert Downey Jr. is in it.
Yeah.
That's the one that's like, you don't go full retard. That's that one. And that movie's fucking hilarious. It seems like right in your wheelhouse. It seems like you'd really, really find it very,
everybody
very
says
funny.
That. I've never seen it, though.
Yeah, we should probably do that one of these days, because that movie's fucking hysterical. But, that was another good role. And I'm not saying I don't hate Tom Cruise. You know, it's just, I'm never all that enthused to see movies that he's in, but there are, like, some movies that he's been in that I actually really like. Somebody talked about The Edge of Tomorrow, which I think we saw that. That was good. What was that other one? Oblivion?
I liked Oblivion.
Oblivion was good. He was good in that. Like I said, he was good in Interview with the Vampire. He was good in Magnolia because he played a dickhead in that,
I liked
too.
Him as Ethan Hunt in all the Mission Impossible movies. And they got better as they went.
Yeah, Mission Impossible Fallout was actually pretty great.
Fallout was really good.
I really liked that as well. But, you know, he's not my favorite actor, but... You know, he's good in certain things.
He
he's good
bad
in certain
PR,
types of role.
You know, he jumped up on the fucking table and they started beating him up with Scientology and shit. So it kind of fucked up his persona. And you know, not as bad as fucking Steven Seagal, but you know, I mean, he started to become a meme. So the Tom Cruise meme overtook some of his fucking actual work. His work is good. Real good.
Well, the thing about Tom Cruise is that
Tom Cruise stories started to emerge.
Well, yeah.
And it kind of tarnished his public image in a certain way, but I think unjustifiably. Just go watch his movies. There, you know, his work is good. And I think he's a good person. I think he's just, some people are saying that a Scientologist can't be a good person, that it makes you a fucking psycho.
Maybe. Having hung out and worked with like a lot of Scientologists, it does kind of like
dicks. I've run into
it. Does kind of like fuck up your thinking in a particular way that does actually make you really assholey.
Yeah, Scientology is literally a paramilitary situation, and they're in there forever. They all think they're, especially if they're in the Sea Org, they think they're fucking Army Rangers or something.
Well, and they think they're better than everybody else too. It's a very
superiority complex.
It's very hierarchical. It's very like we're superior to everybody else. Oh, you poor. Yeah. They call them wogs.
Yeah.
You poor wogs that aren't enlightened like we are. Right. We're the only ones that can do this. And I really don't like people like that.
Yeah.
So, and Scientology really encourages it.
Yeah.
The thing about it, like, putting Scientology aside, I think the problem that Tom Cruise has, which is nothing to do with Scientology, is that he's too famous. I mean, you get into a thing, you go into acting, whatever, and some of them, like, get super, super famous, and he's, like, this big celebrity. But there comes a point where your persona overtakes your work. So I kind of feel like Tom Cruise, maybe not so much nowadays because he's older, but for a while, Tom Cruise, the movie star, was so famous that he couldn't disappear into a role. You would see him in a movie and you're like, oh, it's Tom Cruise.
He's playing himself.
Playing it, and that was always what he did. He couldn't like play a character. You couldn't forget that that was Tom Cruise because he was so fucking famous and because you got the sense that he was always kind of playing himself to a degree.
They're talking about Will Smith and everything going, like, It's obvious to me, being a harbinger of the future and the Nostradamus, I can see how it's going. The era of the movie star is over. All right, fucking Will Smith fucking helped end it. but there are some people that will die movie stars. Okay. Tom Cruise is one of them. Tom Cruise is a fucking movie star.
Yeah.
And he'll die a movie star. Even if movie stars are a thing from the past, And they are. Okay. New movie stars are not really being created. It's just not in the culture anymore. Nobody cares. Like rock stars.
I mean, the thing is, there are people who are famous enough that a lot of people have heard of them.
They're not a movie star.
But it's, you know, I feel like nobody, like a lot of people don't have like the ubiquity that Tom Cruise, like every fucker knew. It's probably in the on the fucking globe, like knows who Tom Cruise is.
He's one of the last final movie stars.
But, you know,
it's just like I was saying, rock stars. They don't make rock stars anymore. They're gone. There are rock stars, but they're aging.
Well, and there are rock stars to particular segments of the population. Like I said, everything's kind of become, like, smaller and more...
Yeah, which is not the same as being a rock star.
That's not the same. Well, and like I said, it's not the same as everybody on Earth, like, knowing who
there is. Everybody on Earth knew who Eddie Van Halen was when he was a rock star. Everybody, you know, fucking... Everybody knew who fucking Michael Jackson was. He was a pop star, but that's also a rock star.
Yeah, same.
So those things are gone now.
Yeah.
They just don't have the staying power. The medium... of entertainment is not the same.
It's too compartmentalized now. It's not, we're not all seeing the same
thing.
Because everybody's just kind of like I said, you know, now it's very easy to kind of just stay in your own entertainment. Because shit, there's, like I said, I'm really into horror and shit like that. I could live the whole rest of my life and watch nothing but horror.
Right.
And not even see any other, because there's so many. You know, and not even see any other genres. I wouldn't do that because I like other genres of movies too, but I could do that if I wanted to. So, and so could anybody. But yeah, so this definitely one of Tom Cruise's better films, better performances, just because he's playing, like I said, a psychopath, which is great.
Read what Mango says. This is, be honest, fucking Tom Cruise was in some fantastic movies.
He was.
Yeah.
You might like Magnolia as well. I haven't seen it for a while, but yeah, that's a really, really good, that's a fucking great movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, like I said, he's been in some great movies. I'm not saying that. It's just that a lot of times I feel like he's just playing himself. I've never, ever seen him in a movie.
But that's what they hired him
kinda,
to do.
Yeah, like where I forgot that was Tom Cruise. No. You know what I'm saying? Whereas some actors, I can see him in a movie and I forgot that that was like that actor. You know what I mean?
In that era, that's what they were looking for.
Yeah.
They hired Tom Cruise.
Well, because he's a big draw. Everybody's going to come see him just because of that.
They were hiring Tom Cruise to be Tom Cruise in the movie playing a character.
Think about Collateral, I didn't realize, like I said, not only did I not realize that this was as old as it was, 2004, for whatever reason, I also didn't realize that Javier Bardem was in this. He's only in, like, one scene. Yeah. I love him, by the way. And Mark Ruffalo is in this, too. Yeah. Like, he's only in a couple scenes. He plays, like, one of the cops or the FBI guy or something like that that's investigating, like, why all these people are getting killed. But, yeah, I mean... So definitely, thank you, Louis, for sending it, and I'm glad that we finally, like...
Got around to,
like, our impatient, bad mood asses to, actually sit there and watch the fucking thing instead of being all fucking grumpy about it, because it actually was, like, a pretty fucking great movie, and I was, like, really, really entertained. But, yeah, and I feel really bad because Oracle just got here, and we're wrapping it up, unfortunately. Mago says, Tom Cruise would have been great in Boogie Nights. Yeah, he probably would have. Maybe not as Dirk Diggler, but maybe in like another role.
Yeah.
Because I can't see anybody but Wahlberg in that.
Yeah.
Because he has like such a He has such an interesting, like, he's real cocky, but he's also kind of like childlike and dorky at the same time. And I feel like that was perfect for that role.
He's been in a bunch of movies too that were good, man. Fucking, I liked fucking that one about the floor. The guys.
The Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain. That's a fucking great movie. Yeah.
Yeah, he has a very, very particular...
There's a certain thing he can play.
Yeah, that he's really, really good at. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like I said, the Dirk Diggler role was right in there, and Pain and Gain was right in there. Somebody who's kind of, like, sweet, and but also kind of, like, naive, and also kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's really hard to describe, but yeah, he's usually good at those. Yeah, the Sister Christian song scene, yeah, that was fucking great. All right, Oracle says, no worries, my own fault for not showing up until now. Yeah, sorry about that. We're getting kind of hungry because it's dinner time, so we're going to go make some fish tacos.
Yeah.
And
shut it down.
And then, okay, I will. All right. So, yeah, tomorrow night is our regular show, and we're doing a show about the DC Snipers. So that should be entertaining. So everybody drop by tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for that one. And we will see you guys again tomorrow evening. Bye.